This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. And in the studio with me today is Tee Shao Eek. So today we'll be talking about vaccine hesitancy. And, you know, you might have come across a recent viral video of a doctor claiming that he wouldn't take the COVID-19 vaccine because of its side effects. Now, that video has since been criticized by other healthcare workers for misleading the public with information about the side effects of the vaccine without talking about its benefits as well. But, you know, with frontline healthcare workers being prioritized in our national COVID-19 immunization program, what are the dangers when healthcare workers themselves are hesitant about the vaccine or don't want to take it at all?
Yes, so we want to hear from you. You know, how much do you value the advice from different sources when it comes to finding out more about COVID-19 vaccines? Whose advice do you trust the most and look to, right? So we have a poll with that question on Twitter, and we have a few options on that poll: healthcare professionals, family and friends, government authorities, and the internet or social media. And if you have any other thoughts besides taking that poll, you can also share it on Twitter at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And so now when you know, Malaysia has joined the global mass vaccination program for COVID-19, we are seeing Malaysia, including many other countries, are putting frontline healthcare workers first, right, in their respective COVID-19 immunization programs. And this is in the context of limited supply. So frontline workers are among those at high risk of contracting the disease due to the nature of their work. They are constantly in working with patients face-to-face, yes, as well as in contact with COVID-19 positive patients. Despite them being in full PPE, there is still that risk. So they are understandably in the first priority group,
that's right,
for vaccinations. And at the same time as well, many governments are also prioritizing other high-risk groups, and this includes older adults, residents of long-term care facilities, law enforcement officers, as well as people with comorbidities who are at higher risk of developing severe COVID-19 symptoms.
Yes, so that's what we're doing here in Malaysia, and we're seeing, we've heard about these three phases of our national COVID-19 immunization program. Yesterday, we saw the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, and the Health Director General, Tan Sri Anwar Hisham, you know, getting their vaccines first. We also saw four healthcare workers receiving their first dose as well. So they come into this first phase. In fact, first phase is split into two priority groups. There's the frontline healthcare workers, like you said, and they comprise the public and private sectors. There's also the second priority group, other frontliners in non-health but also essential services. This includes defense and security personnel as well. So, you know, it was really nice to see the four healthcare workers yesterday who were pictured getting their first dose of the vaccine. And it shows the people who are working behind the scenes in the healthcare sector. It was ambulance driver Clement Marai Francis. It was medical officer Dr. Tan Yi Ling, assistant health officer Khairul Ashraf Muhammad Yassin, and a nurse called Sheila Melissa Sikin. And it's nice to see that across the board, all workers in the healthcare sector will be in this priority group in this first phase.
And I guess that's the message they want to get across, right? That we are looking at healthcare as a whole rather than just doctors specifically, because we have so many people working behind the scenes 24/7 to take care of COVID-19 patients as well as non-COVID patients at the same time. So it was really heartwarming to see the start of the immunization program. And I guess it's, you know, and I guess as momentous as it was, it is really only the first step in a very long journey ahead. It is predicted to take up until February next year for us to achieve the herd immunity of about 80% of our population vaccinated for COVID-19. But planning it and having a steady supply of vaccines is one thing, right? The question remains if we have enough people who will take the COVID-19 vaccine because our immunization program is voluntary.
Yes, and that's a very good question and a pertinent question to ask, because already we've been reading reports and we are even hearing among our own family and friends perhaps,
that's right,
about some people who are hesitant about getting the COVID-19 vaccine. And this has kind of been building up since late last year when the companies started rolling out and governments and countries started procuring these vaccines for their populations. So people are talking about a variety of their concerns and fears, right? One of them is the fact that the main vaccine that many countries are using now, the Pfizer-BioNTech one, is a new technology, mRNA technology, that people are worried about whether it's safe. People are also questioning, you know, have enough people been involved in the trials to really be robust enough? The answer, by the way, is yes, according to a lot of the healthcare experts we've spoken to. People are also worried about the safety of the vaccines. So, you know, all of this combined, some people are sitting on the fence. Some people are saying they don't want it at all. Some people are saying we want to wait. And
some people, I was just going to jump in and say, some people want to choose which vaccines they want to take as well.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing that we're hearing a lot of. So, I mean, you know, do we have any sort of statistics to give us a better idea of how people are feeling? There was one Ministry of Health survey carried out here in December last year, and it found that 67% of those respondents will take the vaccine, 17% are unsure, and 16% outright said they will not take it. So, on the one hand, it's good to see we're seeing almost 67% of them who are saying okay, but you know those 17% who are unsure, right? It may seem like a small number, but we need them on board because you talked about 80% to achieve herd immunity.
That's right.
So we need to convert the 17% to join those who are saying yes to the vaccine.
And you know, reading about this, I guess what's concerning now with healthcare workers about get their vaccines is whether there are among are there anybody among our healthcare workers who are unsure or who will not take the COVID-19 vaccines, right? Do any of them fall within that 17% or that 16%? And you know, like I said at the start, there was that recent video that went quite viral on various social media platforms where a doctor was saying that he will not take the COVID-19 vaccine, and he was emphasizing a lot on the side effects of the vaccine itself, rather than the disease, rather than COVID-19 itself.
The impact of the disease, right?
That's right. And I think that got a lot of healthcare workers worried because it's been a year into the pandemic. We've seen how much devastation has been caused by the disease itself. We're not even looking at the socioeconomic impact of the pandemic. The disease itself has taken so many lives in 1 year. It has left people with long-term symptoms that often we still don't know to what how long they'll last yet. And doctors are still learning something new about this every day. And so it's worrying that, it's worrying, I guess, that a healthcare worker would sort of dismiss the severity of COVID-19 disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, now a police report has been filed against the doctor. And, you know, other doctors have also spoken out about it, sort of clarified points that were made in the video and sort of just emphasized that while the vaccines do have side effects, you know, the benefits of it far outweigh those side effects. And those side effects will be monitored by your healthcare team that provides you with the vaccine when you do get the vaccine.
And monitored by our healthcare regulators as
That's
well,
right.
More importantly. So all of this will be tracked. And like you said, you know, with your team of doctors and nurses there on hand to help you and to sort of like walk you through, okay, if you experience these, don't worry, how long they might last and all that. I think that's a lot more reassuring. I also came across a recent survey carried out by health news site Code Blue, where they asked healthcare workers from both public and private sectors on whether these healthcare workers would take the vaccine. So quite similar numbers to the general survey that I mentioned from the Ministry of Health just now. So among these healthcare workers, 70% said yes, 19% said it depends on which vaccine, 6% aren't sure, and 5% said no. The caveat is that this is a relatively small survey with 829 respondents. I find it reassuring that, again, a majority of our healthcare workers are ready for the vaccine. But I guess we shouldn't ignore that smaller number who are vaccine hesitant, and we need to address those issues. What are their concerns? And how to target and reach out to them so that they don't spread misinformation among their patients and their contacts.
That's right. And, you know, now with so many countries that have rolled out their vaccine, their immunization programs before us, we are sort of slowly seeing that data trickle in, right? One recent one that caught quite a few headlines was a news report that came out from the UK where, you know, it highlighted that infections among healthcare workers in particular did see a drop after they received their COVID-19 vaccine. Mm. So they started their campaign back in December last year. And so the data that they've collected since then, Public Health England has analysed it and found that there was a drop of around 70% of infections among healthcare workers who have had at least their first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. So, I mean, this is just one. Again, this is early results and we do need to wait for a lot more data to come out. But it is encouraging as, you know, the whole world really embarks on this mass vaccination program. And it is sort of that exit strategy for the COVID-19 pandemic, right? It is not the silver bullet, as many of our healthcare experts have said, but it is sort of pushing us towards, you know, getting out of this.
Mm, and when we can protect those who are most exposed, it goes a long way in protecting the population as a whole and ensuring that our healthcare system can remain robust and continue to serve so many other non-COVID patients as well. So that's why we want to focus on how healthcare professionals, medical professionals, healthcare workers generally are feeling about getting the vaccine. We also want to find out from you, whose advice do you trust the most when it comes to information about the vaccines? Is it healthcare professionals, family and friends, government authorities, or the internet or social media, as many of us are on? There's a poll running with that question at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899.
I just want to quickly check with you, shall we? You know, who do you trust when it comes to information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Because we are seeing so many sources, right? We are seeing healthcare professionals, we're seeing government authorities, researchers. There's just so many people coming up with information all the time.
I think you and I are, perhaps we are in an advantageous position, right? So when we get to speak to so many healthcare experts, we're privileged to know who are the credible sources, where to look for the right information. I guess I would say I do trust healthcare authorities and experts, and several of them, not just one person. And the ones that we follow on our social media feed, that we know where to go to online to look for information, that they analyze data and then they break it down for you and they tell you, look, out of all these numbers, this is what it means for you. So that for me is like my number one source.
That's right. And we also have all these healthcare experts who sort of back, who come from this from different perspectives as well. So it's not just one voice who is saying one thing. It's different voices and they all often come to that same conclusion about the COVID-19 vaccines.
That's right.
So I guess with all of this in mind, you know, we will be speaking to two doctors shortly for their insights into vaccine hesitancy among healthcare workers, right? And how can we address that? And also, we want to ask our two guests for the day what they think about getting the COVID-19 vaccine. So you can also share your thoughts with us, whether, you know, you are a healthcare worker thinking of getting vaccinated, or perhaps you want to share something you've heard from your own healthcare provider. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We do have to take a quick break now. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. It is Lim Soo Ann and Tee Shau Yik in the studio today. So we are talking on today's Daily Digest, we are talking about vaccine hesitancy, but sort of zooming in into a very specific and also important group of individuals, and that is our healthcare workers. So be it our doctors, your nurses, your pharmacists, or really anyone who works in the medical field. But so, and so with frontline workers, frontline healthcare workers being part of this phase one to be vaccinated, there is that concern that, you know, there could be some of them who are slightly vaccine hesitant. So what are the dangers of that, I guess? And, you know, how can we tackle that?
And to find that out, joining us today, we're speaking to Dr. Koo Yong Kian, Managing Editor of the Malaysian Medical Gazette, and Dr. Nor Hidayati Muhammad Sharif, Nephrology and Internal Medicine Specialist at Hospital UITM Sungai Buloh. Thank you both for joining us today. So first, is vaccine hesitancy among healthcare workers an issue that you think needs to be addressed or better addressed perhaps? I mean, is it taken for granted that all healthcare workers will take the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yes, I think it needs to be addressed. There is some healthcare workers who are hesitant. I think this needs to be addressed because even though I think the numbers are small, but the reach is very wide. We see healthcare workers interact with many people, with the public, with their patients, family and friends. So even though the numbers are small, the reach is wide, so I think it has to be addressed. Do we take for granted? I think we do at a certain point because previously, most of us will accept any form of vaccine. If you look at historically, like MMR, polio, etc., you know, we will just dispense the advice to take the vaccine. But of course, the COVID vaccine is a bit different. There are many types of vaccine. You know, there's a lot of controversy or questions around the efficacy levels and also the type of vaccines. So we do take it for granted, but because there is so much difference or so much uncertainty around the vaccines, we should pay attention more to hesitancy among healthcare workers.
And personally, have either of you encountered colleagues who are hesitant about the vaccines?
Yes, definitely yes. Because like any other human, all of us have our own biases and fears. So it is natural for us to fear something that we don't know much of, especially something that is new like COVID-19 and also their vaccines. The thing is, the science is evolving. Our understanding of the disease itself also is very new. Remember, the disease is just started last year. So a lot of healthcare workers also are naturally skeptic people. But all this skepticism can be addressed by educating ourselves, learning more about the science behind the disease, behind the vaccine. And I do think that is the weapon for us to actually address vaccine hesitancy among healthcare workers.
I mean, because hesitancy has a lot of reasons to it, and I think Singapore is a little bit different. Of course, we do see some, and I do see some of my colleagues and also around the ground, that the usual reasons, you know, afraid of side effects, worrying about the efficacy, different efficacy risks, etc. But there's another group or cohort that, because the cases are so low here, the risk of getting the disease actually are relatively low if you compare to other countries around the region. So there's this small sense of security that, you know, if the risk of me getting COVID is low, why should I get the vaccine? You know, everything is fine. No, people are going out to eat these days. There's not much restrictions on movement. So this is another way to look at it, and probably this is something we should look at, that we shouldn't just get too too comfortable with our own positions, especially around the situation.
Another aspect of vaccine hesitancy is among the female healthcare workers, because especially when the vaccine is not tested among those who are pregnant and breastfeeding, so when we recommend vaccine to be given, we cannot exactly recommend it among those who are possibly pregnant or planning to get pregnant. But right now, the female healthcare workers are actually almost a majority of the frontliners that is dealing with COVID right now, and they are very vulnerable, especially those who are pregnant and breastfeeding. In fact, pregnancy is one of the risks of getting a severe COVID-19 infection. So the hesitation among this cohort of female healthcare workers is something that we should address as well. And they should look at their own risk of possible exposure to the infection when they want to decide whether to take the vaccine or not.
Well, you know, why might some healthcare workers be hesitant about the vaccines? Because, you know, I would think that they're coming from a more informed position to be able to find that balance between what we know and what we currently don't know.
Not necessarily, because it totally depends on what kind of exposure or education you have, because I have colleagues who don't really deal with inpatient care of COVID-19 patients. They are the ones who actually thought that, oh, COVID-19 is not that serious, while we who actually deal with actual care of COVID-19 positive patients, we are seeing the really, really severe cases, and even have some of our colleagues getting infected and getting admitted to ICU. So these are the disproportionate exposure to the effects of the disease that actually set up that bias in their minds. A lot of people who don't think that the disease is bad because they're not seeing the severe cases. But those people who seeing the ones who died, the ones who have severe health complications because of it, they know that taking the vaccine is crucial for us to stay safe and continue doing the work that we do now.
Yeah, I think I echo Dr. Hidayati's opinion as well. You know, different experiences will give you different information. But other than that, I think there's also an asymmetry of data interpretation. Some people are better in, or probably have different data interpretation skills or evidence interpretation skills. So, you know, the data of COVID-19 and the vaccines are like getting updated nearly every day. So there's a barrage of information coming in. So not everybody has the time to go through to scrutinize the source of the articles, the references, etc. So there's an asymmetry there that probably will make the healthcare workers make different decisions on the vaccine. Ideally, all healthcare workers should evaluate the evidence impartially because it is science-based. But we also must remember all of us are human too. You know, we get influenced by other factors, you know, social, cultural factors, religion, politics, you know, it's a big thing. So all of this will play a part into the decision-making and also at the end lead to various levels of hesitancy.
And what are the dangers when people hear that healthcare workers themselves voice hesitancy about taking the vaccine or perhaps even actively peddle misinformation about the vaccines?
Oh, healthcare workers in general, right, is still occupy that space where our community actually like view their opinions are something like a possible truth kind of thing. So that's where the danger lies. You have a trusted doctor who you go every day or somebody that you know personally saying something against the vaccine. Then that actually, oh, because I know this doctor, but they cannot really differentiate because they are looking at the opinion as from somebody that they trust. So that's the danger.
Yeah, I agree with Hidayati as well. I think especially doctors or maybe other healthcare workers, they have this power of influence and their words carry a certain amount of weight among the public. So as a healthcare worker, I think that there should be extra consideration for what we say to the public or to our patients or to colleagues, you know, because our words carry so much more weight. And, you know, you don't want people to misquote us or, you know, to refer us as a reference for misinformation. So I think there is some moral responsibility to dive into the evidence more.
At the end of the day, right, I do think that we as general members of the public need to make our own decisions about our own health. So this is where we need to educate our own public rather than just accepting views of experts. They also need to educate themselves on the science that is available and how to actually differentiate good information versus bad information, true news versus fake news.
So do you think that we need to then tackle vaccine hesitancy among healthcare workers differently from how we would approach it with the general public?
Yes, I do think that we should educate. That's why even in hospital levels in Malaysia, we are holding a lot of webinars and even when we actually have like surveys to judge whether there's anyone who still have hesitation, and we actually personally counsel the healthcare worker who expressed any hesitation. To be fair, a lot of their hesitations are valid. Like most people vaccine hesitation is something that is natural. So in order for us to convince them to take the vaccine, we need to actually explain and reassure them about the safety of the vaccine, rather than just dismiss their hesitation. Oh, you, this is all nonsense. No, their hesitations are valid, their fears are valid. But the most important part is how to reassure them and to show them the signs that the vaccines are safe. The disease are much worse than the vaccine. Take the vaccine. A lot of people worry about, a lot of the healthcare workers concerned about the vaccines, right? Because it's actually new and there's no long-term data. These fears are valid. But I always tell them, right, this fear of these possible long-term complications are not proven yet. But what has been proven is the long-term complications of getting infected by the disease itself. So they need to see the risk versus benefit to be able to decide whether to get the vaccine or not.
Yeah, I think the general approach to trying to engage with healthcare workers is basically the same. You want to give the correct information, you want to give adequate engagement, etc. But I think the level of engagement would be at a higher level. You know, like Dr. Hidate said, there are a lot of webinars, town halls, seminars, etc. to educate the healthcare workers, and also surveys to gauge the response. Other than that, I think perhaps one thing that the authorities could do is to perhaps hold a regular sort of like a vaccine training program to empower healthcare workers on how to engage with hesitant groups, anti-vaxxers, etc. So I think that itself is important. Another thing is probably transparency of data. You know, we always talk about having transparency of data. So I think transparency of data is crucial, not to let people know what's happening on the ground, but it's important to build trust. Trust deficit is also another big problem which influences many decisions hesitancy on the vaccine. So I think with transparency of data, we can empower people. We can also build vaccine confidence.
So do you think then that COVID-19 vaccinations for healthcare workers should be made mandatory?
To be honest, I don't believe in mandatory vaccination. Every one of us has a basic human right to decide. This is what we call of like human autonomy to decide on a medical intervention, including the vaccine. Making it mandatory, which will actually more harmful and more detrimental, making people lose trust against the vaccine. To me, it is much more better to educate and convince them to take the vaccine rather than forcing them to take the vaccine.
I'd also like to get a personal take on this from both of you. Let's start with you, Dr. Koo. You are currently based in Singapore, and so you've already gotten both doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. Why did you decide to get vaccinated?
So I received the Pfizer vaccine. So personally, I think the deal breaker is obviously to protect yourself. That's the most important thing. You know, the vaccine is proven. It's basically, you know, a good thing to do to protect yourself. But I think more importantly, it also gave me a peace of mind. You know, people around me, my parents who are elderly, my wife and kid, and the daughter who's about 4, I think. So they're not eligible for the vaccine yet. So I think it's important for me to put in some extra effort. Even though my risk is low, you know, but I think there's a moral responsibility, there's some social responsibility for everyone to get the vaccine, so to protect yourself and as well for others around us.
And what about you, Dr. Hidayati? Are you getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
I'm due to take my vaccine on next Friday morning. The main reason why I really want to take the vaccine is because I'm a nephrologist. Honestly, my patients have very high risk to die or get very severe COVID-19 once infected. And I have seen my patients who develop very, very bad complications. And I have colleagues, my own fellow nephrologists, dialysis centers with a lot of patients who got infected and get admitted to ICUs. When you see all this in front of your eyes, right, you're really afraid for your life. So, honestly, the reason why I really want to take the vaccine, because I fear for my life. I fear that if I got infected, my husband lose a wife, my child lose a mother. Especially, it's become more personal when a colleague of mine died recently because of COVID.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
So it's now very personal. People need to see the toll of the disease to our own healthcare workers. When we are in the front line, we're seeing people who died of the disease. A lot of them, right? Okay, people will argue, right? A lot of them, they're elderly, they have chronic diseases, but they don't realize that despite having chronic diseases, right, they're still around. Well, a lot of them are actually like a treasured member of a family. And especially when they die during this COVID pandemic, right, they most of the time they will be dying alone in the ICU. And even when they die, you cannot even visit them. You cannot do a proper funeral for them. It's really heartbreaking. So I really don't wish this to anyone, especially to my own family. So that's why I'm taking the vaccine, to protect myself, so that I can protect my patients, my family, my friends. It's simple as that.
I just want to add on. I think we have been a bit desensitized by the numbers we have been seeing lately. We see cases, we see recoveries. We just look at the situation as numbers, as statistics. But I think the disease is a very human problem. And it's wise for us to look at it at the perspective of us, or of a relative, of a patient. You know, I'm sure all of us know someone, one way or another, who has COVID-19 previously, or maybe even got infected by it. So I think it's important to keep this in mind when you make a decision whether you want to take the vaccine.
All right. Thank you both so much for joining us on the show and for sharing your own experiences and thoughts on this. So that was Dr. Koo Yong Kian, Managing Editor of the Malaysian Medical Gazette, a Malaysian doctor who's currently based in Singapore, and Dr. Nor Hidayati Muhammad Sharif, a nephrologist and internal medicine specialist from Hospital UITM Sungai Buloh. So just to summarize, you know, they highlighted that vaccine hesitancy among healthcare workers is an issue that we need to take seriously because of the weight and influence, right, that healthcare workers have with the general public. These are people that we trust with our health. And so if they aren't sure about the vaccines themselves, that would influence how we perceive the vaccines as well. And in fact, our poll does point to how much the public values healthcare professionals. So we asked, whose advice do you trust the most when it comes to information about the COVID-19 vaccines? 96% of you say healthcare professionals. That's right. Surprisingly, 2% only say the internet and social media. I'm not sure. Are you guys lying? No, I'm sure you do trust in your healthcare professionals, and that's why it's so important.
That's
all
right.
The more important that at least healthcare professionals who are hesitant, as Dr. Koo and Dr. Hidayati kept saying, right, puts in some extra effort to understand the science behind it, because healthcare professionals already are in a better position to understand, to know how to read studies and all these kinds of things, right?
And to break it down for the layperson, because, you know, not everyone, and like you said, not everyone is able to go and read these studies and interpret the data on their own.
Yeah. And from our poll, a small number, 1.5% say you trust government authorities. None of you trust your family and friends. we also have a message from Raz on WhatsApp, who said that the vaccine is only to protect yourself and not those around you who have not taken the vaccine. So you could still be a carrier of the virus. And that is true.
Yes.
Healthcare authorities, the experts, the scientists have all been very transparent in saying that we still do not know yet how much the vaccine can protect transmission of the disease. And that's why everybody is saying, even after you get vaccinated, you have to continue with those safety measures, like wearing your mask, not gathering in crowds, and washing your hands. Raz, I just like to point out that a lot of healthcare experts have also told us that if enough people, 80% is that herd immunity number we keep talking about. If we can reach that number of people being vaccinated, then that will actually reduce the transmission. And then we will see like a dramatic drop in the decrease of cases. And, you know, even if it's protecting one person, mm-hmm. you're protecting one life above, you know, and if everyone can get vaccinated, that's so many lives protected.
That's right. And, you know, we, and like Dr. Hidayati said, we wouldn't, no doctor wants to wish upon anyone to get severe COVID-19 disease. And that's what the vaccine is doing. It is, you know, the early results have shown that it is working to reduce how severe your symptoms are. And, you know, I guess that will be beneficial for a healthcare system so that everyone can get the quality care that they need from our healthcare workers.
That's right, because the healthcare system is here to provide services to so many other people with, and we know we have such a huge burden of non-communicable diseases like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, all of that needs attention from our healthcare workers. And so we want to relieve the burden that COVID-19 is putting on it as well. We also have Norhan, who messaged in to correct us earlier when we said the four other healthcare workers who were vaccinated yesterday. Today included Khairul Ashraf Muhammad Yassin. He's an assistant medical officer, not an assistant health officer. So thanks, Norhan, for pointing that out.
And that's just one thing I want to bring up from what Dr. Koo and Dr. Hidayati said as well, is that, you know, even our healthcare professionals are human, right? And we there is that need to sort of empower the people as well to take on that initiative to learn more about this and sort of, I guess, just listen to your healthcare providers, but also sort of, I guess, widen your scope, you know, not just take it as it is from one person, for example, but to sort of get your news from a variety of sources so that you yourself can make that informed decision on whether you want to take the COVID-19 vaccine or not. And I just want to say that I really appreciate how heartfelt Dr. Koo and Dr. Hidayati was in sharing, you know, what their own experiences were like and why they feel it's important to take the COVID-19 vaccine because, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, it is lindung diri, lindung semua.
That's right. I especially appreciated Dr. Hidayati's very personal sharing. You could hear how emotional she got. Right. And that's when you realize COVID-19 is real. It has terrible, terrible impact and consequences. It's not just another flu to be shrugged off. Take it from the people who see it with their own eyes, right?
Yes. And, you know, we keep hearing from the news that over 600,000 people have already pre-registered their interest in getting the vaccine. So hopefully, you know, it is only the first few days. So hopefully the number will just keep climbing. And by the time phase two and phase three rolls around, we will have, you know, millions of Malaysians on board with the immunization program. And, you know, we do achieve that 80% herd immunity by the end of the year or by February 2022 as the plan is that the government has set out.
Yeah, so check out your My Sejahtera app. If you haven't already updated it, do so and you can click on the registration button. You can also visit vaccinecovid.gov.my to sort of keep up to date. Follow them on social media as well to keep up to date on what's happening.
That's right. And that's all the time that we have for the show today. You can keep sharing your thoughts with us. Tweet us at BFM Radio or you can also drop us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Alternatively, you can reach out to us directly at BFM The Bigger Picture on Facebook to send us a message. Now, if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on the various podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple and Google. Now, coming up after the 3 p.m. news bulletin, it is Live and Learn with Juliet Jacobs, who will be speaking to three musicians, Alina Murang, OG from Stone Bay and Rachel Lawrence Gimbang from Estranged on their project Roads to Our Heritage, which sort of aims to tell the stories of Sabah and Sarawak's traditional music craftsmen. That is all from us on The Daily Digest today, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.